I would leave these legal matters to the courts. And operation about police, human resources, it's really up to the chief.
That is the voice of Olivia Chow, the mayor, and she's not talking. She's not saying anything when asked about the fallout of this first-degree murder trial ending in acquittal. Certainly not commenting on the chief of police, if he should step down or anything else. She should. She's the mayor of the city. But Chief Demke has asked for the OPP to do an independent review of these comments made by Justice Molloy following the acquittal of Zamir. And she apologized to him for what he'd gone through. But certainly, during the trial and in her instructions to the jury, Molloy had said, you know, in her opinion, there was no evidence to fully support the Crown's theory and that the defense's theory aligned with the video, the experts, and the testimony of Zamir and his wife. She also said that the jury could consider the possibility of collusion by the witness officers. So there were other things brought into this. Now, Demke wants a review of, you know, officers' testimony, the conduct of procedures, training, and also off, you know, duty uniforms or lack thereof. But again, there are so many questions that need to be answered. I think, there's no end to what should be looked into. I want to bring Ari Goldkind into this conversation. He is, of course, a criminal defense lawyer. And I know that, Ari, this is a case being talked about probably in every corner and maybe across the country because it's got so much fallout to it. But let me pick your brain on the one thing that really kind of sticks out to me. And there's a whole bunch of stuff. But the Crown. We've heard that the police want an investigation, right? But the Crown, who's gonna be looking into the Crown and how they thought that a first degree murder charge would actually hold till the trial?
So as you often do, you steal the point I was gonna raise that nobody's talking about. So kudos to you, okay? Right. I know both Crowns on this case, okay? One of them, I think pretty much indicated her level of discomfort with the prosecution. The one in charge has put out a statement that I think is very concerning. Here's
yes,
why.
Yeah. And okay? let me just...
Please help.
Because the statement, I think I have most of it, and I have to kind of go back into my my notes, but the statement kind of put forward by the head of the Crown's office saying, circumstances surrounding Northrop's death warranted a trial to determine accountability. And I'm like, that's the troubling part, no?
Yeah, so let's take your list. That's right. And, you know, look, let's say he's a good man. I mean, I know him. I've done many cases with him. But I'm really bothered by this. And we can't – the Crown's office is indivisible. And, like, the pressure on the Crown's office to do this from politicians, the police union, you know, we're not going to, you know, go that inside baseball. Here's the problem, okay? There were a couple editorials yesterday that went out in my least favorite paper that were so nonsensical – and they tie into your question. You'll recall yesterday there's an editorial that goes out that says Doug Ford, John Tory, and Patrick Brown owe Umar Zamir an apology, okay? Now, that's a very tempting editorial by Canada's leading newspaper that I disagree with everything they write. But you asked about the Crown, okay? We have a system now where the Crown attorney knew without question. And by the way, you mentioned Myron Demke. Let me just bring up another name who's the luckiest guy in Toronto today. His name is James Raymer.
Yeah, that's true. I know. It's so true.
We should talk about that for because you're asking me about the Crown. Let's take your listeners into really what's happening here as opposed to the juicy, you know, talking points. James Raymer came out the day after this and told the entire public, your listeners, the Alex Pearson Show, Canada at large, that this was an intentional and deliberate act. Now, he was either misled by his three colluding officers, or he knew better and misled us. He never issued a correction. Once it was clear that those three officers were wrong, the evidence knew that, the surveillance video knew it, James Raymer has never come out and said, you know what? I shouldn't have said it. It wasn't an intentional and deliberate act, and we know that. Now, let's go further, because you're asking about the Crown. Then the politicians, after they hear James Raymer come out and say it's an intentional and deliberate act, the politicians said the right thing, which is, why are we letting an intentional, deliberate cop killer out on bail? Then there's a bail hearing that we're not allowed to talk about because there's a publication ban. And I've been on your show many times, and I'm notoriously against these publication bans. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I'm the only one who thinks so. I don't care. I think what I want to think. The public has a right to know what time it is and why somebody's get released. And the thing you'll get back is, well, it ruins the jury system. You have to leave it only to when the jury is impaneled, and that's okay, great. That's an argument from 1957. And here's why it matters, Alex. Because the entire city of Toronto, including Margaret Northrup, who I'm not speaking for, but I have great sympathy for her, the police officers, all the people who went to his funeral, and were under the impression that this was an intentional and deliberate act. Judge Jill Copeland, because you asked me about the Crown. I'm not avoiding your question. It's all part of my answer. This is important. Jill Copeland, a very smart judge who's now been elevated to the Court of Appeal, had the bail hearing 2 years ago. And as you know, Alex, because we can only talk about it now, we weren't allowed to talk about it 6 months ago, said directly, here's my answer to you about the Crown, your case is garbage. I'm going to speak more colloquially, okay, because judges don't say it this way. They'll say your case has no case. It's fraught with difficulties. It's weak. Your theory makes no sense. A 34-year-old accountant with a wife and a 2-year-old in the back seat decides to run somebody over and you're calling it murder. Your case is fill in the blank. It's a 4-letter word that starts with S. Okay?
Yeah.
That doesn't change anything of the Crown's approach. They then find out that their surveillance does not match what three officers say. They then find out that the three officers isn't matched by their own expert, let alone the defense expert. Then there's a brave cop who we're not talking about enough. There's a brave cop that says, no, what those three are saying is wrong. So to your question about the Crown, the Crown was not in the dark. The Crown knew their case was an absolute dog's breakfast. And yet, here's the part where I disagree with so many people who have analyzed this case, where they say, oh, the system worked. The jury acquitted him.
No.
I'm sorry. I've done this for 20-something years, and I've seen jury verdicts be wrong. The idea that any Crown attorney... or anybody who loved Jeffrey Northrup, and I'm being serious here, Alex, would have slept at night knowing that Mr. Zamir would spend the rest of his life behind bars if the jury got it wrong.
Right. Yeah, and they could have.
They absolutely could have. So the fact that Judge Malloy was there guarding everything and lambasting the Crown, Alex, if you look at what Judge Malloy had to say to the Crown...
Yeah, and I have. I'm going to run out of time. And by the way, I've covered a number of her cases, so I know exactly what she's like in her temperament, and I thought her comments were extraordinary. But also, and there's a couple of other things, I don't have a lot of time for it, but in her instructions to the jury, you know, she said that there was no evidence to fully support the Crown's theory, but that, you know, the defense's theory aligned with the video and the experts. And I'm trying to think, well, was that leading at all? And the other thing is then... you know, with that bail judge, because I agree that letting someone else on first-degree murder, when we're talking about a police officer, it is outrageous to not get an explanation as to why. Because for 2 years, we filled a vacuum up with misinformation when there has to be an update or a way we can say, look, there's a publication ban, but this is the reasoning.
But Alex, very quickly, because we'll make the heart out, don't worry, but very quickly, you'll remember the defense lawyer begged the court to let the public know the truth.
And
the court said, no, that's the conversation we don't have time to have. But your question about the Crown was a very good one. And here's all I wanted to say about it. A Crown attorney in Canada, Alex, and this is important again for people who don't understand how the sausage is made. While a defense lawyer's mandate is really to win at all costs so long as ethical, okay, a Crown attorney is not tasked, does not swear an oath to win at all costs. They are a minister of justice. And when you have judges and evidence that clearly show there is something else behind the prosecution, whether it's be making the cops happy, maybe revenge, maybe some false notion of accountability, we cannot have a system that looks more and more like the countries we thumb our noses at. And just because the jury did the right thing, Alex, should satisfy absolutely nobody that the system here worked as it should. Stop pointing the fingers at those three lying officers. That's the easy one. There are bigger issues here that I assure you will not be looked into.
Well, they should, and certainly we'll keep talking about them. I'm out of time, so I'll appreciate your day. Thanks a lot, Ari, for your time.
Good to be with you, Alex.
All right, so we're going to continue trying to get these answers because there are many that we need, for sure.